Welcome to the Into the Void podcast with your host, Sammy Starr. Step into the void.
All right, everybody. We're here on the next episode of the Into the Void podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Starr, and we're here with Connecticut-based Broken Vow. We're here with Tommy Hart. I want to thank everybody for actually liking, commenting, subscribing, wherever you're listening on here, whether it's Spotify, YouTube, whether it's, you know, Podbean, wherever you're listening. I want to thank you guys all for actually tuning in and supporting smaller bands, whether it's the larger bands that I have on here. It's all about like connecting everybody and really finding a common ground on here. So I appreciate everybody that's really just listening and taking time and really supporting. I want to give the floor over to Tommy and have him kind of introduce himself a little bit.
Hey, I'm Tommy. I sing and do a lot of writing in Broken Vow, and I'm very excited to be on Into the Void podcast today.
Awesome, awesome. I know this is a very common question, but again, it's everybody's story is kind of different where everybody starts and, you know, how every band begins. What started Broken Vow? What was the scene kind of like?
I think the main driving force behind Broken Vow starting was actually boredom. So the kind of original members had all met at shows in Connecticut right around the time when like stuff started getting shut down because of COVID. It was literally just like out of a sense of boredom that we all like hit each other up, yo, like, please, like, let's like play some music together. Let's get together. Let's write something. And it was just, we were all sitting around. We were all kind of, you know, marinating in our own boredom. We wanted to do something productive. And and that's how we started Broken Vow. So
it's kind of funny how all those things kind of intermingle together, whether it's like boredom or whether it's, you know, your friends being in other bands. It's like all those things kind of synchronize together, and then you realize like whether your interests interline with one another's, and it's like, you know, let's just start a band.
I mean, there's a lot of serendipity involved in like having those like connections and also having those conditions. And when you think about it, a lot has to like fall in place, right place, right time for a band to begin, for a band to work, for a band to keep working. And, you know, there's a lot of factors of condition in making and maintaining a musical group.
Exactly. What bands inspired you to create the music that you make? I know you guys kind of operate under like the hardcore kind of metal scene of things, but what bands kind of inspired you to just cement, let's just kind of do this?
It's interesting because like, I mean, I'm 20 now, but we started Broken Vow when I was 17. Thinking about it, it's like how much growth and like more things I've discovered since then. I almost feel like there were certain bands that I was very into at the time that we started Broken Vow that I still am now. You know, like the more modern, like triple B bands and like older 90s bands like Earth Crisis were like really huge for us at the time.
Right.
But then it's like through Broken Vow, it's like so many people who are like older than us who would be like, who just have this like vast farther knowledge of hardcore than we do, or I probably will for a very long time, or like, oh, you sound like this band from this time.
Oh, and I'm of course.
Like, oh, I should check that band out. And then over time, those bands start like influencing you more than even the bands that you started the band kind of looking up to, you know what I mean? I think the growth of the band has coincided with the growth of like my taste and like all of us collectively being at one place in hardcore and like diving deeper and like very much becoming involved and enveloped in this like rich history and culture of bands that we were kind of accidentally sounding like, you know what I mean?
Right. That brings me to my next question, being that, you know, you just said that you are 20. What role did music play in your earlier years?
Music was very central to my childhood. My father was very, he has one of the coolest music tastes out of anyone I know. So he showed me a lot of like older British punk bands when I was growing up.
Oh,
and
nice.
Like
okay.
Kind of new wave and like Manchester bands. So
really
a lot
cool.
of that stuff was kind of like what defined my childhood and stuff. But it wasn't until like when I was like 11 or 12 when I started getting into like alternative music, as much as
right.
like, that's become like a really cringy buzzword for just like for just like being a little weird and liking music. Right. It kind of made a lot of sense for me to be like pursuing the things I'm pursuing now, just because I connected with them so early. And I've had a lot of time to like stew on that, if that makes sense.
Well, remember to take out the word alternative in this podcast when we were done.
Yeah, no, I'll be
You're
like,
not allowed I'll, to say I that. Get,
when I started getting into
I know you guys recently had an EP that came out back in 2021. What was that creative process like when you guys started getting into that? And how was that different from your 2020 release?
I think it's what you're seeing is two totally different sides of the coin in terms of Broken Vow. You know what I mean? You know, we've had a lot since we recorded that EP, even between that EP being recorded and that EP coming out, a lot about the band changed. And from that EP coming out to our 2022 release coming out, a lot changed. It's just kind of this like constant evolution and change. Like I said, like we've grown up with this band, and obviously with growing up comes a lot of tumultuous times, and the band is just the same. And it's kind of what I see is the Same Minds End, our EP, was kind of the last stand of that like original way that the band was during COVID. And then this new thing that we put out is like what's to come from Broken Vow, and like what you can expect from the future. Is I love Same Minds End, I love the demo, but I think the split will be a very important touchstone for us as we move forward with writing more music.
There's more of a full-bodied and more aggressive sound, I feel like, with the 2021 EP. And I think that's more of just a slice, like you said, of what's to come of when you guys kind of reach into a more, like I said, a more full-bodied, more texturized kind of release as we move forward. Yeah.
It's definitely something that we're hyper-conscious of as a band, because in 2022, you have like close to 45 years of hardcore history to draw on, you know what I mean? And you kind of see like in the past what works and what doesn't for bands. If we were dialing ourselves in for like, oh, we're gonna really like crush it in the fourth quarter, we'd be like, okay, let's just do like a metalcore record and like just keep doing those every 2 years and then play festivals in Europe. But like, I think we want to really like do something that's meaningful to us and can hopefully be meaningful to other people in the future. And I think the progression and growth as a band is something we're hyper aware of.
What are your favorite and least favorite parts of being a musician?
I think my least favorite part about being a musician is that it's my favorite thing ever. And it's very like, it's harder when you kind of fully immerse yourself in something. It's much harder to relate to people who aren't fully immersed in that. You know what I mean? So it's like, while it like expands your scope of the world, it also narrows a lot of things, and it kind of makes it so that you can only really relate to like a very specific subset of people, and only they can relate to you. But my favorite part about being a musician is literally just everything else. So when you're in it, you're in it.
I think I can agree with you. Being a music journalist, I've talked to so many talented musicians and so many talented bands from across the globe. And while it's like you said, it expands you, and while I'm happy to be doing what I'm doing, it definitely puts you in a smaller scope, because I feel like I can only connect with only certain types of people, while at the same time, when I try to broaden my horizons, it's like certain people only can get certain things that you're talking about. And so I can identify with you, even though I am a music journalist. It's just a certain scope of field where you can only talk to certain people about certain things.
I think to say it's a thing that only happens as a musician or as a music journalist would also be like, I feel like it's a very common phenomenon with occupations or hobbies that kind of consume a person entirely. You know what I mean?
Of course. This is a very fun question, because I always like to ask bands or artists, because the answer is always pretty different. If you guys could collaborate with a band or an artist, who would it be and why?
I mean, we're very lucky in that like we're coming up at a time in hardcore where there's a lot of bands who I'd consider our peers who are killing it in a way that like we look up to a lot. And it's like, I mean, we're about to go out this summer across the whole USA, and like, there's at least one, if not many, bands on each show that I'm like psyched out of my mind to see. And I feel like it's gonna be an exhausting month. I'm gonna be on tour, and it's a pretty demanding tour routing and schedule, but like the bands we're playing with, I want to see them and I want to, you know, like enjoy their shows to the fullest. It's like playing a show and going to a show on the same night for like 30 nights in a row, which I'm a little scared for, but mainly excited for.
Of course.
But to answer your question, sorry.
No, you're fine.
You know, I wanted to acknowledge that like we get to collaborate with pretty much everybody we like want to collaborate with. We're like the luckiest band in the world because of that. I'm trying to think like what like the dream would be.
No, it's like, a pretty big question.
I think it'd be pretty cool to get on like a bigger like metal tour or something that's like,
totally, like
kind of out of our ballpark as like a hardcore band. I think it would be fun to play to that audience just because I think we play like mainly shows to people who are very, very young. And I think that fan base is generally older. I'd like to see how a room of 50-year-olds who are into aggressive music react to Broken Bad. You know what I mean? Maybe not a tour, but like one show, just like an experiment. So, and for what it's worth, I've got love for metal. Like I was a metalhead before I was into hardcore. You know what I mean? But it's just right. Like, I think they, no shade meant to them for this, but they might just not get it. And I think that'd be pretty funny. Maybe we'll say Obituary, Morbid Angel, Cannibal Corpse, Broken Vow tour 2025 would be the dream tour.
So if any of those bands, if you hear this.
Yeah, no, my DMs are open.
The DMs are open.
American on Instagram. Just let me know. Let's make something happen.
Make something happen. You heard it from here. You did bring up the Sound and Fury Festival. I do think that is a great opportunity for you guys, being fresh and up and coming. You guys have an amazing sound that's very aggressive and, like I said, very fresh.
Thank you.
How are you feeling coming into this? And I imagine that's an exhilarating feeling, but...
I'd say exhilarating is a good word. I'd say generally like daunting as well. Like, so I play in another band called Anxious, and Anxious is also playing Sound and Fury about 2 hours after Broken Vow does on the same stage. I'm pretty scared for my physical well-being by the end of that. It's like playing two almost back-to-back sets in LA weather is I don't envy myself. I don't think I'm in an enviable position amongst the bands. But also just the sheer kind of magnitude of the event is pretty wild, because like I feel I'm like part of something that's like to the magnitude of like something mainstream almost, you know what I mean? But it's still totally within the confines of hardcore, and that's really exciting, and that's like also really terrifying, you know what I mean? Because that's like a lot of pressure, you know what I mean? To perform in front of that wide of an audience of your peers is... Usually you have to go city to city to city to see everybody, but it feels like everybody's going to be there. You know what I mean? And everybody from every corner of the world who loves hardcore and can be there will be there. You're hitting a lot of demographics at once, and you only have one chance. So it's not maybe we have to get Milwaukee next time, but like, let's worry about Chicago now. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, Milwaukee and Chicago will be there, and so will Dayton, Ohio, and so will Pittsburgh, and so will Philly, and et cetera. I always get nervous before like any show. I'm just like a nervous person, but I've been like getting nervous as if I'm about to go on just randomly at like points throughout the day. I was driving this morning and I just went, oh my God, I'm going to play Sound of Fury. Like,
right.
It's a different feeling of nervousness, which I don't think I've ever experienced before.
I don't think any band really gets over that experience of playing like their first big festival. Yeah. I think it's a feeling that every band tries to replicate. It's a feeling that doesn't really ever go away once you get there and then it's all over. But it's a feeling that doesn't ever go away after it's all said and done. Just try to take it all in and like try to take in all the memories and just have fun with it.
I don't think I'll have any other choice.
Yeah, just roll with it, man. Just roll with it.
That's the plan. That's the plan.
You guys are great. You guys are solid. And I think a lot of people are going to enjoy your sound. And I think a lot of bands too are going to fall in love with you guys as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
No problem. I always like asking this question too. Everybody's process is kind of different for how they get ready for shows and whatnot. What is your typical process for how you get ready for a show?
It depends. So like I said, I play guitar in another band called Anxious. I do a large amount of touring with them. And I'd say between Broken Vow and Anxious, it's very different. So I'll kind of break down each of those. With Broken Vow, I like to warm up my voice for like 5 to 15 minutes, depending on the night before the show. Just like get myself in a good shape. And then I like to warm up my body. Like I'll do a ton of stretches, some jumping jacks, nothing like strenuous that'll tire me out, but just kind of get my blood flowing. Drink a lot of water before either one, have water on stage. But yeah, I'd say the main difference is the hallmarks of it are like making sure my body's ready because I'm a very physical performer. So it's like, I don't want to go for a high kick and like blow my back out and like have to do the rest of the tour on crutches.
No.
Just kind of making sure like physically and mentally you're prepared, I think is very important. I've always regretted taking it easy and just like going for it. Always like giving yourself time to prepare and to put yourself in the right places. You can never go wrong, really.
What's the best and worst places that you've ever performed?
I'm trying to think some best places that are like super, like someone might have not even known that that place existed prior. I feel like Grand Rapids doesn't get its fair dues in Michigan. Obviously in Michigan, you've got Detroit and you've got bands from Detroit who like kind of occupy this like legacy. So people kind of want to play there. But every time that Broken Vow played in Michigan, we've played in Grand Rapids and it's been like out of this world amazing. Like the last time we played there, we played to like 100 people in like a dance studio. There were like mirrors everywhere. It was a really like everyone was having like a great time. Like we had a great time. That's one of my favorite shows the band's ever played. And then the day after that, we actually went to Toronto. And I want to give a shout out and a big up to Toronto. We played at like 11:30 p.m. or something. And if I was in that audience as an observer, I would have been at home. I would have been in bed. Every single person stuck around for our set. And it seemed like everyone was moshing in that like super tiny room. Huge shout out to Toronto Hardcore. All the bands we played with there were amazing. There was Cohesion, Temper Tantrum, and one other. I'm very sorry, I forget your name, but you were amazing. Those 2 days on our last tour were like the highlight of everything. So Grand Rapids and Toronto, I'd say, are my favorites. Least favorite. That's a question I have to approach more delicately, I think. I'd only be judging these places based off of my experience, my band's experience playing there. It's also hard. I'm generally a positive person about places I go, but goddamn, that drive from Chicago through Indiana into Kentucky, I'll just say the Indiana highway system, something's got to change. Like something's, they've got to do something about that. I'm sure I'll have a broad support from the people of Indiana that your highways are really mind-numbing to drive on. So it's not you, it's your infrastructure. Yeah, we did that drive. Like it takes about 5 hours to get from like one corner of Indiana to the other, and we did that whole thing between the hours of like midnight and 6 a.m It was hellish, to say the least.
Oh my
so
God.
I'll say the Indiana highways in specific, because we had a great time in Fort Wayne when we played there. I played Fort Wayne twice, once with each band. It was awesome. I had a great time, but yeah, man, that drive is not fun at all. So,
oh my God.
Indiana takes the crown, but not by much. So,
Hashtag Indiana, change your highways.
I'm going to get something done in there. I'm going to fix it. So,
Hashtag get things done. I have another question for you. What do you think is important to learning from each other in the scene? I know we often take lessons from the upper crust, as I say, from like the bands that we often look up to, but we don't often learn from each other as a whole. I feel like there's a lot of competing going on and there's not a lot of common ground, as I would say.
Yeah.
What's one thing that we can take from each other to kind of help each other out?
Your peers are your peers. They're not your competition. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's very difficult to have a scene that's trying to destroy itself. You know what I mean? It's very hard to have a scene where every band is opposed to every other band. And I'm a big believer in the kind of like high tide rises all ships mentality, where if this band is getting attention, then that in turn will make more people pay attention to this kind of music, which my band is one of these kinds of music, and hopefully they'll pay more attention to us. You know what I mean? And I hate seeing people mad at other people's success. You know what I mean? And I'm extremely proud of every single one of my friends in hardcore and in aggressive music in general, who are like kind of making these strides and like getting their name recognized, and even if they're not, just doing what they love. And I think it's important to know that like everything that we do has equal value to everything that everyone else is doing, even if it's not perceived that way by like, even if your band isn't picked up by like whatever magazine or isn't put on whatever Spotify playlist or doesn't get whatever big show, it's important.
Of course.
The scene doesn't survive and thrive just with five huge bands who are doing everything, because those bands are never home. You know what I mean? Those bands are always out on the road. I think it's very important to mark the importance of every band at every level and what they're doing, and not try to compete with your peers. At least healthy competition is cool, but
right,
we can all win and we all will.
I agree. My next question is what's the biggest piece of advice you've ever gotten as a musician?
Ooh, you get a lot of advice. Anxious has done some tours with some, like, I don't want to say legacy acts because that implies that they're not still killing it, but like bands who have a tenure, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We just did one with Bayside and Thrice.
Nice.
All those guys were really, really cool. You encounter a lot of different people who like view success a different way. I remember like Ant from Bayside talked about it a lot. I'll kind of accredit this like general line of thought to him is that success as a musician doesn't look a lot like what you're kind of told it looks like from like a young age. You know, there's no rock stars anymore. I mean, there are, but like, you don't really want to be like them. We might not be in the most lucrative field, but we're doing what we love. And at the end of the day, if like we can take any kind of satisfaction or like any kind of success, or it's even at for a short time lucrative financially, you've got to take the successes where they present themselves. That doesn't mean that you like rest on your laurels or whatever. Success, there isn't a hard definition to it. And we're all succeeding in like our own ways. You know what I mean? To go back to the point about like scene stuff, is success is important and success is bountiful. And there's like enough that like every tour you do and every show you play on that tour and every song you play in that show and like every note you play in that song, like all of those are successes. Because you get to do what you love, you know, in whatever capacity you're doing it. And that's a success.
If you could change one thing in the music industry, what would it be?
The drive between North Carolina and Tampa being slated as an overnight for some reason. Because it's about, there's lots of things I'd like to change about the music industry, but that's one that's like been a bee in my bonnet for a second now, ever since I started touring. I think it's if we all came together and we all said we want an off day between North Carolina and Florida just to get like the 8 to 10 hour drive out of the way, I think we could do it. I really think this is like a reasonable change. That like the Coyo tour, the Knuckle Puck tour, the Boston Manor tour, all three of those tours back to back, North Carolina one day, Tampa the very next day, 10 hour drive overnight. Why are we doing it? We shouldn't be. It's that simple. So I think that's my, like, there's a lot of things that I would love to see change in music. I don't think I have all the answers to those. I'm open to the solutions and how that involves me. But I think this was like a very reasonable starting place for all of us.
What is the biggest problem that you have encountered so far as a musician, and how have you dealt with it in its process? I know it's kind of like in the early stages, somewhat.
Yeah. No, but I think that's arguably a more interesting time to ask the question. You might make someone a little older than me have like an existential crisis. You know what I mean? But like,
right.
Adjusting to what like it means for your life, especially like in the last year, like I've transitioned from it being much more of like a passion and a hobby to it being something that more closely resembles a job or a full-time commitment at the very least. That changes things about your life, just like point blank. And not in the way of like, oh yeah, like I fly in private jets now. I don't. No,
right.
Nobody's doing that. You know what
right.
I mean? It's like,
right.
It's like I'm away all the time. I'm always broke. And like, I always eat horribly. So it's like, it's like kind of having to like adapt to like the downsides of it. I'm struggling to find a word for it because it's not a struggle. It's just a condition of doing something you love. As much as I'll like joke about it, I'd never complain. being able to kind of push aside the less desirable parts so that you can focus on like the good things is definitely the hardest thing, but it's definitely the most rewarding thing once you learn how to do it.
The last question that I'll leave you with is, what message do you want people to take from your music on this tour? Not what people are necessarily thinking, but what you necessarily want them to walk away thinking.
I'm not super hung up on like how people perceive my band in like an aesthetic sense. I think everything we do is cool, but that's because I'm doing it. We get to do it however we want to. But even if they're not talking about our band, I hope they have a good time. You know what I mean? I hope they walk away and they say, wow, that was really enjoyable. That was really fun. I hope they go home and tell someone at home, like, I had a really great time at the show tonight. You know what I mean? And that's
right.
A lot of the times that's the most you can ask for. And I guess I don't get to see any of that payoff, but that's what I hope for most is that when you come to see Broken Vow, you have a fun time.
That's a great place to level out at because, like I said, this is a big festival. I think everybody is, like I said, they're going to like your sound and they're going to like what you bring to the table.
Thank you.
I know you guys are kind of fresh into the scene right now, but there's a lot that you guys are bringing.
Thank you.
Hopefully for the juncture of this tour, a lot of people will like what they see.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I hope so too. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for coming. Like I said, it's not just about the huge upper crust of bands that come onto the show. It's about the smaller talent that comes on here and supports what I do. So thank you for coming on here and, you know, sharing your story as well. Thank you guys for tuning in to the latest edition for Into the Void. Remember to like, comment, subscribe, and remember that you guys can listen on YouTube, you can listen on Spotify, and you can listen on Podbean. There will be another episode coming up soon.